We celebrate you. Welcome to Lofty Heights Christian Center, a ministry that exists to raise kingdom influencers. As a church, we emphasize three things: the Word, the integrity of it and its ability to transform, the Holy Spirit, His power and demonstration of the same, and love. Love for God, for yourself, and for others. You are about to experience God's undiluted word from God's servant, Pastor Wale Tejumade. Get ready for a transformation.
All right, the teaching focus for this weekend, like you all have been made to understand, it is the prophetic direction for the year 2024, which is the year of the zeal of the Lord. The year of the zeal of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, which you just read, which also was the anchor scripture, 6 verse 7, 6 to 7, actually, you know, of this prophetic direction for the year, it was Isaiah prophesying about the birth of Jesus. He says of the increase of his government. Go to verse number 7, please. He says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He says upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. He says to order it and establish it. He says with judgment and justice. He says from that time forward, even forever. And then he declared the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, if you attended Overflow, our crossover service, my own teaching direction this weekend is a continuation of the teaching at Overflow. During Overflow, I brought us a message titled The Jealousy of God. And I believe that many of you would remember that. And if for any reason you were not part of that, you need to go and go watch that. All right, it's still right there on our YouTube channel. The message was titled The Jealousy of God. And I then began to take on how God becomes jealous, you know, in respect to us and to his things and to his persons. The Hebrew word jealous is the Hebrew word, is the Hebrew word kana. It simply means to be zealous, to be passionate. It means enthusiasm, it means fervor. When Prophet Isaiah made that prophecy concerning Jesus, he says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I did say to us that God provokes, the jealousy of God, which is the zeal of the Lord, okay? The jealousy of God becomes reveals in our lives, principally in three or four ways, all right? One of the things that I talked about during that weekend, that's crossover service, was that God gets jealous, is very zealous for his name. You remember that teaching, right? The Lord is what? Very zealous for his name. That was part of the things that we touched on. The Lord is very zealous for his name, or for his praise, as you may want to say. And his praise in this case, like I taught us, includes his name, includes his integrity, his fame. He doesn't want anything shared. You'd remember, you know, I took you through the book of Daniel. When you took a look at Daniel chapter number 4, verse number 28, about the life of Nebuchadnezzar. God sent Nebuchadnezzar into the wilderness to go and be dining with, you know, animals and all of that, simply because he equated himself to the stature of God. He looked at what God had done through him, and he then began to say to himself, his own hand had fetched him all these things. The Lord toys with some things. He allows some things about himself and about us, but he doesn't. With his praise, his glory, Bible says he doesn't share with anybody. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you remember very vividly, I also did quote Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 14. Bible describes this same God. It says God whose name is jealous. So as all the names, please, this thing is pitching over here. Aside from all the names for which you know God has, Bible tells us that one of the names that God carries, Yahweh carries, is jealous. So it's not just a jealous God. Jealous is actually his person. Hallelujah, glory to God. If you were at that meeting that particular evening, you'd remember I also said that the Lord is very jealous, you know, for his people. All right, you remember that, right? He fought for the children of Israel. He specifically said, go to Pharaoh, told Moses multiple times. Go to Pharaoh, tell him, I say, let my people go. And the same God will say, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So in actual fact, it wasn't Pharaoh's intention not to let the children of Israel go. But it was actually God trying to, you know, stretch and, you know, present to the people, you know, how fireful and how powerful a God that he is. So God said to him, say, he will not let you go. He says in Exodus chapter number 7 verse 5, he says, by that all the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I will bring the children of Israel from among them. The jealousy of God was what brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. If you understand, again, very quickly, going back to the first one, you know that the Lord himself is jealous, you know, for his prayers, and the Lord is jealous for his people. Anyone named by the name of the Lord, just like Lady T shared in that teaching, can we celebrate Lady T, please? Hallelujah, glory to God. Just like Lady T shared in that teaching also, anyone that is named by the name of the Lord, that is under the ambit of the King of Glory, nothing comes against that person. Whoever dears that person, dears is God. And God sits like a mother hen, protecting each and every one of us. The reason why the children of Egypt couldn't do anything to the children of Israel was simply because of the jealousy of God in action over the destinies of the children of Israel. One of the things that you must understand about this God is that he gets so boastful, you know, about his own people, you know, as a result of his own jealousy. His jealousy, again, is his zeal, okay? So the word jealousy in the scriptures and the word zeal of the Lord, they both mean the same thing. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. And I think I stopped that. The fact that the Lord is also jealous for his promise. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Lord is what? The Lord is jealous for his promises or jealous for his prophecies. Whatsoever thing he says he's going to do, you can be rest assured he's going to do them. He says, I would watch my word to perform them. If the Lord's giving you a word concerning any situation of your life, what will bring that word into perfection is the jealousy of God concerning the birth of Jesus. That was what Isaiah was saying. He says, it is the zeal of the Lord of hosts that will bring this to pass. In other words, I'm going to stand as a watch over this word that I've spoken, and then I'll make sure that this word comes to pass. And see, that is the same way the Lord has sworn over our destinies. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. Again, if you miss that teaching, the jealousy of God, I believe it's a teaching that every believer needs. You need to head back to YouTube to go watch it. Tonight, I want to bring you this message. Remember that during the crossover service, I told you that the zeal of the Lord is in two folds. You have the zeal of the Lord being zealous for us. All right, on one hand, and then you have a responsibility to, just like Lady T also adduced you, you know, to being zealous for the Lord. So as the Lord is zealous for us, it is also expected that we are zealous for the Lord. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. As the Lord is zealous for us, it is expected that we also become zealous for the Lord. And if you take a look at the scripture, even down from Genesis down to Revelation, you'll see anyone who's ever run through a trip, leap over the wall in the days of old, they were those who were very fervent concerning the Lord. They were very zealous, extremely so for the Lord and for his kingdom. Paul speaking says, for me to live is Christ. He said, for me to die is gain. In other words, as long as I have my breath in me, the essence of my breath that I have is for no one other than Christ Jesus. Paul will pray, Ephesians chapter number 1 from verse number 15, Philippians chapter number 3 from verse number 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. There is always something about someone on the go for the Lord. There is always something about someone zealous for the Lord. You would remember during that teaching, during the crossover service, I'd use the children, the three Hebrew boys thrown into the fiery furnace. I'd use them as an example. They looked at the king. Oh, king, long may you reign. We want you to know that the God that we serve is able to rescue us from this fiery furnace. But even if this God chooses not to rescue us, king, let it be known to you that we will not bow to your God. That's what it means to be zealous for the Lord. In the face of conflicting priorities, conflicting situations, you are taking a stand for the sake of the gospel. Listen, child of God, this is that year to go on the go, to be on the go for the defense of the gospel of Christ. I told you during the crossover service, it's not a season to be quiet about your faith. We will shout it on top of the mountain. We will say to those that want to hear, even those that do not want to hear, we will let them know that Jesus is Lord. If they ask you why, you say, the Lord is zealous for me, and I'm only being zealous for the Lord. It is that simple. So the Lord is not just being jealous for us. We also have a responsibility of being jealous for the Lord. So tonight, let's take a look at, very quickly, please time me, thank you. The zeal for kingdom stewardship. I thought someone would celebrate Jesus. The zeal for kingdom stewardship. The zeal. Someone say after me, the zeal for kingdom stewardship. So my own focus, I don't know what God had spoken to PK about. All right, PK is going to do his thing as the Lord has laid upon his heart. But my own focus this weekend is to causing you to becoming zealous for the Lord. Because during the crossover service, I shared how God is zealous for you. All right, so this night, let's take a look at the zeal for kingdom stewardship. You see, on the very essence, the very backbone, or the very background, you know, of God's zealous nature, you know, for us, it is his love. The essence of God, it's the reason why he's zealous for us. His very essence, Bible says God is love. He says he who does not love does not know God. He says because God is love. Lift up your right hand up unto heaven. Say after me, Father, breathe upon me tonight. Breathe upon this word. Illuminate my heart. Go ahead and say that for a few seconds. Bible says, while Peter was still speaking in the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit came upon them that heard him. Breathe upon this word. Let it transform my life. In Jesus' name. So the very backbone of the zeal of the Lord, God is jealous. Why? Because of his love. That was why I told you yet again, his praise includes his name, his integrity, his fame, his zealous for it. His people, his prophecies, his promises, he's zealous for them. If you take a look at the back of that, the very foundation of that, it is the essence of God himself. The essence of Yahweh, which is love. In same vein, for you to become zealous for the Lord. Because, you see, that's God's expectations. You see, I'd always told you, Christianity is not morality. You were not saved to be fine boy, fine girl. You were saved such that through you, others may come to the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. So our salvation is not for us to be pocketed and to lead ourselves alone to heaven. It is such that we'll be able to attract as many people as possible with us, such that through us, they may see the light. So God expects that you'd also be on the go for him. The same way he fights for you, the same way he protects you, the same way he defends you, the same way he loves you, the same way he provides for you, he expects you to be on the go for him too. He expects us, each and every one of us, to be in the same thing. So the same way the essence of God's jealousy over us is his love, it is the same way he expects that his jealousy for us, our jealousy for him rather, would also be our love for him. Matthew chapter number 22. Start reading from verse number 33. Media, could you please present that? Matthew chapter number 22 from verse number 33. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, Kelechi, check out, yeah. Matthew 22, 33. Sing like never before. I'll read from verse number 34. Matthew chapter number 22 from verse number 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. Doing what? Testing him. That was Jesus. And saying, what did he say? Verse number 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse number 37 now, Jesus said to him, take a look at, you shall love, not you will love. Okay, this is lofty height. I've taught you there is no, to understand the scripture, every mechanical accuracy, the English lexicon, everything, you must fully understand them. The comma, the full stop, the semicolon, all those mechanical accuracies, they were put in there for a purpose. If you don't observe them, you will not be able to interpret or understand the meaning of the word that you're studying. He says, you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart. He says, with all your soul. And he says, and with all your mind. When you take the soul, the heart, the soul, and the mind of mind, when you take all of those three together, you are simply saying, you shall love the Lord your God with the entirety of your existence. Every fiber of your being must love him. Take a look at the next verse, verse number 38. He says, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39 now. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the last verse, number 40, says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Child of God, concerning your zeal for the Lord, your love for the Lord is the basis of it. If you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you can never be zealous for him. The zeal of the Lord himself, the zeal of Yahweh himself, the very basis of it is his love for us. In same vein, if you want to reciprocate that, it must be love. In this, Romans number 5, verse number 5, the love of the Father was shed abroad in our heart. He says, by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. The year of the zeal of the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 6, if you start reading from verse number 31 to 34, Jesus further gave another template of what this means. If you want to be zealous for him, Jesus gave the template. It's a scripture we all quote so much in this ministry, so you will know. From verse number 31, let's see. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He says, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Hold on a second. This is a Bible teaching ministry, right? He didn't say you shouldn't seek those things. Jesus didn't say don't be concerned about them. He says, but they should not be the first thing you pursue. Take a look at. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, there is a priority in this kingdom. If you go by what to eat, what to drink, where to lay head first, you can never be zealous for it. When Jesus comes to the back burner, there is no zeal for you in him. One of the ways to prove that you are zealous for the Lord is when Christ himself is taking the front space in your life. In everything and anything that pertains to your destiny. Your career, your finances, your home, your health, name it, anything. That Christ himself is the priority, is the number one. Like I've always explained, in this kingdom, we don't seek that kingdom because we want what to eat, what to drink, where to lay our heads. That's not going to be a justifiable reason or a great reason to be seeking the kingdom. Because if you do that, if you go by that route, then you begin to make the kingdom relationship transactionary. Your walk with the Lord will then become a case of give me and I give you. And like I've always taught you, if Jesus does nothing for you again till he returns or till he calls you home, he's done enough for you. He's giving you the salvation of your soul. Nothing else compares to that. So we are not seeking the kingdom because we want clothing, we want shelter, we want food. No, we are seeking the kingdom because our king is in the kingdom. So Jesus, the King of glory himself, is in the kingdom, is the reason why we are pursuing the kingdom. So we are serving the Lord not because we want the Lord to prosper us materially. Not because we want more money in our pocket, as beautiful as that is, money is needed for the expansion of the gospel anyways. Not because we want to live in the nicest places, in the city or on earth. Not because we want to do anything. No, we are seeking him. We are pursuing him because of who he is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you will do this, you will become zealous for him. It's not rocket science. But sadly, many of us come, like in the place where my wife is from, right, for example. All right? In the country where she's from. Many of them there from that place were trained to seek in the Lord for what they want to get. So you have, say, Holy Ghost service, for example. You have MFM prayer meeting. You have all of those things. 95% of those thronging those camps are going in there not to go seek the face of the Lord for who he is, but for what they want him to do for them. So then you come into an environment like this, and then you realize, after all, buying a new car is no longer a miracle. Come on now, am I preaching tonight? Then you realize, I was in London in October. I don't know why you guys are like, please, PK is here. Let's respect ourselves. Some people are burning candle on their passports to be able to visit London. Then you get here, you become a Canadian citizen, you get the blue passport that allows you to go anywhere. And you then realize, after all, there is no much to do with this God. Because you've been sold a transactionary God. You are sick in your body. One of the reasons why the sickness is there is because of poor health care or lack of funds to go do medical whatever, surgery or whatever thing that you need to do. Then you get in here and you say, we'll place you on dialysis. We'll do this test for you. We'll do that for you. And then you realize that after all, everything is already given. That's the reason why many people from where she's from, they are cold. Come and celebrate Jesus in this house. That's why many people are called. I'm teaching the zeal for kingdom stewardship. People that will go on the mountain, go pray like their life depends on it, will get in here, we begin to beg you to come to church and serve the Lord. Come on now. Come on now. Yes, sir. Actually right now, I do what I do. The reason why I go to church is because of my children. As though you've outgrown Jesus. Come on now. It's so sad that sometimes I'm begging people to serve God. I'm not begging you to let me marry you. I have a super gorgeous wife. I'm not begging you to give me money. I'm not begging you to give me whatever thing. Begging you, I'll be begging. Please don't stop serving. Please, I'm sorry. They offended you. Take it that me, your pastor, did it. Please forgive me and forgive them. Still like this. See, the zeal of the Lord is palpable. I wanted to say, if he didn't day, he didn't day. Hallelujah, glory to Jesus. If the zeal is there, we'll know. Acts chapter number 4, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Bible says they saw that they were untrained, unlearned men. They looked at them and they could tell that of the truth. This one, they've been with Jesus. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. You don't say, I'm zealous for the Lord. We will see from the results that you produce. Those of you that are new in this country, pay attention to this. Don't see, it's not only the natural atmosphere in this land that is cold. The spiritual atmosphere too is also very cold. I was preparing for this teaching, and the Lord ministered to my spirit. The Lord said to me, one of the reasons why many churches are dead or dying in this nation is because you have ministries without zeal for the Lord. Zeal means passion, fervency, fire. No disrespect to anybody on the pulpit. You have pastors on the pulpit that are on there because of what they want to eat. They look for a job, they couldn't get a job, and then feel that they could do this. The year of the seal of the Lord. It's not the year to be called. The seal for kingdom stewardship. In the year 2012, I took my passport. Was it 13? 2013. I went to Redemption Camp, Gio's house, former house. Some of you may have been there, Holy Ghost Center, they call it, where you gain access into Gio's bedroom, you know, and all of that, and his prayer closet. And I went in there with my green passport, laid it on the floor flat, and I was saying to the Lord, Lord, give me access to the nations. If you do this for me, I'll teach and preach the gospel. I never knew God was going to have me to move over here. The following year was when the Lord ministered to me and said to me, now, your time in this nation is ripe. I'm sending you out of this nation. The zeal for the Lord. Listen, it's infectious. If you have it, you can tell that you do have it. By the mercy of God, I say this and I say this humbly. The state of this ministry, what God's done in this ministry, in the space of 5 years of my existence, is a reflection of my zeal for my Father. If I were more zealous than this, it would have been more than this. The Lord is very zealous for you. I said to you, nothing can come against me. No evil can come near me. That assurance is something that you need as you journey on in this year. That you are not ordinary. That there is a greater being behind you, watching over you. Listen, who will kill if he has to kill for your sake? No, they couldn't say amen. So what's Peter saying? Go study your Bible, Isaiah 43. Go and study it. A jealous person, like I've taught before, is a very dangerous person. The jealousy of God is a reflection of his love. The weight of his love is what provokes that. They told Agabus, picked up the belt and lifted it up. Say, who owns this belt? They say, it belongs to Brother Paul. Say, hey, whoever owns this belt, the way I'm binding this belt together, that's the way that person will be bound together. If the person dares, Paul stood up, went to meet them. The belt. Sorry, Chima. I hope I've not damaged your microphone. The belt belongs to me. Bible says, they began to prevail on Paul. Ah, please don't go. Agabus has spoken. What he says will come to pass. Bible says Paul looked at them and said, why are you sorry for my sake? Is it not better for me to be bound in chain and still being able to preach in the gospel? And you will be wondering how a snake can come on his hand where they are taught that end has come and he could shake it off. The zeal of the Lord. He's zealous for me. Come and say after me, he's zealous for me. And I'm zealous for him. The zeal of the Lord. Kingdom stewardship. Listen, I don't want to be too direct so that someone will not say, oh, pastor is passing shots at me. You know, I don't want to do that. But let's tell ourselves the truth. You cannot claim to be saved and do nothing in God's house. It's a reflection of where your zeal lies. Everyone is passionate about something, Pastor Cheryl. Everyone is zealous about something. There is no one who is not zealous for something. Your zeal may be to be sleeping. Your zeal may be to just be eating. For some of us, our zeal is just to pleasing the Father, doing the Father's business. You cannot claim to be named by the name of the Lord, genuinely saved, and not be a kingdom steward. I've said it before. It was until I got to Canada, I knew that it's possible for my pastor to call me and I will not pick his call. It's not that I'm busy. I'm just irritated by him and I will not pick. I never knew that was possible until I saw people do it here. Where I'm from, Iran, you are busy, you go somewhere.
Pastor, sir. Please, sir. Marathon your call, sir. Celebrate you, sir. They say, why? You are angry. You are mad. I've also learned around here, it's possible for you to be so talented, yet had terrible attitude. I read a book many years ago in my undergraduate days by Brother Gbele Akoni. Some of you may know him. Brother Gbele Akoni. I can't remember the title of that book, but that book talked about the danger of sitting in the Lord's house and doing nothing. Forget the fact that I'm your pastor. You all have seen my pastor here, Little Sharp. I've hosted him here. You've read him. I've said him 1,000,001 times. For if I were not, if I were not your pastor, by election of grace, not privilege, to found and lead Lofty Height, my zeal for the Lord would still have been like this. Actually, maybe more. Because all the backlash and the heartbreak, it's my pastor that will be receiving those ones. It is not me. Some of you didn't catch that part. We're just concerned. We're just moved by the things of God. We just want to serve the Lord. Because that is the essence of our lives. We will not let whatsoever thing anyone has done against us to stop us from serving. No man born of woman is sufficient to take me off this altar and say, no, don't preach the word again. Except my father says no. But you say, I will no longer preach because you called me a moron. You called me a fool. Come on now. By your spirit I will rise.
From the ashes of defeat. Resurrected me.
In Luke chapter number 2:49, they were looking for Jesus, his mother. His response tells you where the zeal, the heart for Jesus was. He says, shouldn't you know that I'm going to be about my father's business? I arrived Canada on Wednesday in the evening. I flew to Regina yesterday evening. And now I'm here. When they picked me up at the airport, I was jokingly telling them, I feel like sleeping. So when I get on the altar to sharing the word for you at Upsol, that I'm sleeping off, you forgive me. But I've not been sleeping, right? I try. Come on, celebrate Jesus, even if I try. It is the zeal of the Lord. My wife got to Regina today, came into the room and said that when my daughter, Hadassah, woke up this morning because they had break today and she couldn't find me, she asked my wife, said, where is daddy? My wife says, daddy had gone to Regina. I said, but he just got back from Nigeria. Isn't he going to rest? How does he do these things? It is the zeal of the Lord. I don't know how long I have on earth. Don't tell me you spend X and Y here. No, you're not my God. I don't know how long I have on earth. But this time that I have, the nation of Canada will feel the heat. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. And we will go about all these things. We will teach this gospel. We will preach it. We will demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. Those that are not saved will be saved. Till everyone comes to the knowledge that the kingdom of the nation of Canada has become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And Jesus alone will reign in it forever and ever. Come on now. Yahweh.
You are my King.
child of God, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let the Lord Almighty be able to count on you. You are watching me online. Lofty Heights is not your local assembly. Get to your local assembly this Sunday and enlist that you may experience the zeal of the Lord in your own affairs. Once I was young, the psalmist says, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. My life is what my life is because of the zeal for the Father and his business. This was injected in me through the ministry of Bishop David Olani Oyedepo. I've told you guys 1,001 times. There are sons and daughters of mine in this house that have caught the same thing. We can't step into any house, any church. It doesn't matter where it is, and we'll sit still and do nothing. Look for a place to serve. The Lord's house is your Father's house. When you get to your Father's house, let's say for Christmas, for example, and decorations are being made, your brother is mounting the tree, some people are in the kitchen, some are putting on the the ornament and all of that. You don't sit in the living room and cross your legs and do nothing and say, because it's your Father's house. What you do is that you take off your shirt, you roll it up, and you say, this is our Father's house. We're going to beautify it together. That's the zeal of the Lord there. Can I shock you? The zeal for the Father helps you to keep your gaze. Set it as a flint on Christ, just like Lady T taught. I've seen people say to me, say, because I serve in the Lord's house, there are certain things I cannot do. Serving in God places limit restrictions on you and some things that you can do and some things you cannot do. And don't also forget, no one serves the Lord in vain. Do I need to tell you that? As I wrap up tonight, as you are serving, stewarding for the kingdom, there are three things you need to bear in mind. Number one is offense. Offense. People have left church because of offense. The weird parties that come to you and say the Lord told them to leave, as though the Lord is an author of confusion. The Lord will never have you leave his house when there is an offense in your heart. People have stopped serving because someone's done something against them. It doesn't matter if that person apologizes or not. It doesn't matter to them. It's a reflection of their state. I'm not judging anybody. I'm teaching you the gospel of Christ. It is impossible for offenses not to come, says the word of the Lord. He says, but woe unto him through whom they do come. Yesterday evening, I was in church. Something happened here. This son of mine in the gospel, Deji Oyinwola, it was enough for him to have been, scattered ground and all of that. He kept his cool. Even reached out to me later in the day, apologizing to me on behalf of that person. Yet you find someone saying, I'm not going to be an usher again. Why? Because the other day when Ike was coming to church, Ike looked at me somehow and I did not like that way he looked at me. And because of that, I'm not serving again. Watch it. Their lives are never on the rise. In these few years of pastoring you, right? My eyes have seen. Maybe because I also didn't come to this country to pastor a church. I've told you that already, right? It was until a year after I got here, the Lord said, I've sent you here to raise the people for me. I was fine serving where I was serving. I did not lack platform. So somebody would then look at me and say, you've done something against me. So I'll do something to you right now. I did not suspend you. But you say, no, I don't like the way Peter spoke to me. Because of that, I'm not doing that again. Who's lost? Offense. You know what you have to do? You have to guard your heart against it. If somebody does that to you, instead of you being, go walk to that person and look at that person in the face. Say, I know who I am in Christ. All this that you're doing against me will not move me out of this unit. You will be the one to vacate this unit for me. That's what God wants. Not you saying, what's that? As though God is at our mercy. Number two, caution. I'm teaching on the zeal for kingdom stewardship. Number two, caution. The crave for man's adulation. The crave for man's adulation. In other words, the crave for man's praises. If you get on the go, wanting to become a kingdom steward, all right, serving in the Lord's house, doing all you're doing, you must be very careful not to be doing what you're doing in the expectation that someone will see you and praise you. I've seen that also cause people to serve. My head of unit, will he say they don't see me? Will she say they don't see me? I deal with all the, some would even list all that they are doing in the Lord's, not in your household, in the Lord's house. Say, this service, I'm the one who is there. I would be the one to sing. I'll be the one to dance. I'll be the one to play the keyboard. I'll be the one to... You know the key, the antidote to that? Do all you're doing as unto the Lord. I'm sharing with you eternal keys. If you want to become a very strong kingdom steward, stop it. If their praises do not get into your head, their art, their offenses will not get to your heart. The Lord who created me, no. I love you guys so very much. You all celebrate me. Then, for example, I got to Regina yesterday. I met people at the airport, you know, welcoming me. That's so beautiful. That's so lovely. But can I shock you? Whether you do these things for me or you don't, I'm on the go for my Father. Because I know the same people who are shouting, Hosanna, 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 see the one who has come in the name of the Lord. They were the same people saying, crucify him, crucify. You ain't going to crucify me. They crave for man's adulation. We try to celebrate work for us here. In case you're not celebrated, don't take it as an offense. Number three, the last but not the least, and then I'll vacate this place. We'll continue tomorrow. Number three, if you want to be a great steward of the Lord, watch out for pride. You know the effect of the pride? It causes you to feel that you are the best thing God is using. And can I shock you? Me, I don't know about any other person, but I know I'm not the best person to be your pastor. And I can tell you that from the scripture. Whoever you see that, pay attention to me, child of God. Whoever you see that is on the go for Christ right now, regardless of the exploit they are doing for the Father and his kingdom, they are not the best players that the Father has. They are not. There are some underdogs that you will never see. Go and ask Saul. Go and ask Saul. You are not the best. Pride can set in. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. It's so bad that some people even feel that if they don't show up, they don't do what they need to do, and then they'll be expecting the work of the Lord to suffer as a result. Can I shock you? Today. A son very dear to me in this house, not any other church, this is your church, Lofty Heights. I told him yesterday, I said, see, listen, I suspend you henceforth from serving. Yesterday, I stand on the Lord's altar, I kid you not, I told him, I said, this is going to be the panacea. I said, if you know you want to continue to serve the Lord in this house, go and make this amend. And yesterday he told me he was not going to do that. I said, if you're not going to do that, take all your stuff from this church and don't serve. You can come in here and worship the Lord if you want, but don't serve here again. Can I shock you? He's very useful in the Lord's house. He serves the Lord with some of his own assets. But when you get to a point where you feel that without you, you will hold the Lord's work to ransom, the devil is already setting in. So what I've done for him was to help him to quickly see the light. He came into my office this evening, and begging me. And I told him, I don't have anything against you. Go and do what the person that you offended, go and apologize to that person. That person says to you, yes, I release you. In this kingdom, there must be discipline. There must be discipline. Rise up on your feet tonight. The zeal for kingdom stewardship. The zeal for kingdom stewardship. The zeal for kingdom stewardship. Would you lift up your right hand up unto heaven and just pray tonight? Father, help me. to be a great steward. That I will not serve with offense. God bless you. That I will not serve with offense. I will not serve expecting the adulations of men, the praises of men. That I will not serve with pride in my heart. That I will not hold your work and your kingdom to ransom. I will not. I will not. Let me share this other part with you. You know, it beats me until Jesus will come. I will never understand why people will come into the Lord's house and not give and not tithe. How you have to be encouraged to give to the Lord is a reflection of your lack of zeal for the Lord. If the zeal is there, you would know that with your pocket, it belongs to Yahweh. So you want to be zealous for him in respect to kingdom stewardship. What do? You pray for his work. You serve and then you give. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds.
We trust God that this ministration blessed your life tremendously. Do share your testimony and experience with us by emailing us at hello@myloftyheightsglobal.org. For more life-transforming messages from our ministry, please visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also stay connected with us across our social media platforms at My Lofty Heights. To give to our ministry, please visit our website. We love you, we honor you, and we celebrate you.